Good evening, everyone. I'm so excited to preach the Word of God to you guys today. But before I do that, I'd like to thank Pastor Anthony for giving me the opportunity to preach today. I'd also like to thank Pastor Rob and Pastor Becca for allowing Young Communicators to preach throughout all of our campuses today. It is such an honor to serve under their leadership. I'll start by saying this: the Lord is good. How many of you have tasted that the Lord is good? How many of you have experienced his goodness? How many of you have stepped out in faith and the Lord has provided? Yes. Grab your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 34. This psalm is a psalm of wisdom and praise, and it's written by David. This is what David writes in Psalm 34:8. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." You see, David tasted and experienced that the Lord is good, and he's inviting you and I to do the same. In the first half of this message, that's what I want to focus on. I want to focus on taste and experience. You see, when you taste something, you experience it. It's actually funny, on Friday night, my husband Jordan and I, we had a date night, and we bought this book a while ago, and it's full of scratch-off dates, right? So on Friday night, we scratched off a date, and it said, random recipe. You ask someone for a random recipe, right? And this is a date, you scratch it off, and then you have to do it. Okay, so we called our friend Alicia, and we said, "Hey, Alicia, we're doing this thing. Can you give us a random recipe?" And she was like, "That's weird, but sure, I'll do it." So she sent us a recipe for a Swiss steak, and we went to Target, we bought all the stuff, we tried it, and it was delicious. Why do I tell you this story? Because we tried something new, we stepped out in faith to taste something, and we saw that it was good, and God is asking us to do the same thing. See, sometimes we forget what the Lord has done for us, and we need to reflect on our testimonies to see that the Lord is good. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with the Lord yet. I get it, I was there too. But tonight I'd like to share my testimony and show how I have experienced God's goodness in hopes that it will encourage you. You see, I didn't grow up in the church. I always joke when I tell my testimony that as a family, we prayed before dinner and we prayed for the monsters in my closet. Right? So I believed in God, but I didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't know what he did for me on the cross. I didn't know that I could say yes to him and spend eternity with him forever. I went on to college and I was chasing worldly things that couldn't satisfy my hunger. You see, I was chasing after alcohol, I was chasing after partying, and I was letting other people tell me who I was. And it didn't satisfy my hunger. You see, but then I gave my life to Christ when I was 20 years old, and my hunger was fully satisfied. And I'm standing here to tell you today that God is good. Soon after I gave my life to Christ, I felt God calling me into full-time ministry. And my immediate reaction was that I was unworthy. I felt like I wasn't smart enough, that I wasn't a Christian for that long, and I didn't know the Bible that well. So if I didn't know the Bible that well, how was I supposed to tell people about Jesus? I was scared of public speaking, and I disqualified myself. So I continued to pursue nursing, and I want to pause and say that nursing is not a bad thing, but it wasn't what God was asking me to do. I doubted God's goodness, and I was afraid to taste and see that he was good. But guess what happened when I didn't do what God was asking me to do? I felt weighed down. I knew I was running from God, but he was with me the whole time. And maybe you're here today and you're running from something that God has asked you to do, whether it's going to be a missionary or stepping out in boldness to share your faith with someone or going to be a pastor, telling that kid who is at the hospital who's sick that Jesus loves him. But I want to tell you, don't disqualify yourself, and God is with you, even if you are running from him. See, it's actually funny. 2 years ago today, I was sitting on this side of the auditorium, probably about right in the middle there, and Pastor Nick, our Go Kids Associate Children's Pastor, he was preaching that day. And he was sharing his testimony about how he was saved in high school and he knew God was calling him to full-time ministry. He said that he felt unworthy. He said that he felt like he wasn't smart enough. He wasn't a Christian for long enough. He didn't know the Bible well enough. And if he didn't know the Bible well enough, how was he supposed to tell people about Jesus? He was scared of public speaking and he disqualified himself. See, this resonated with me because that's what I was going through. I don't even remember the rest of the message because after he shared his testimony, I was in tears. I was so encouraged because I saw God doing something in someone else that he disqualified himself for, and I knew that God could do it for me. That was the day I said yes to what God was asking me to do, and my calling's been confirmed by many pastors who are still in my life, and I'm so thankful for them. But looking back 2 years ago, I felt so unworthy, and now, 2 years later, I'm doing the very thing that I felt unworthy to do. I have the honor and the privilege of preaching to your children on Sunday, all because of Jesus. All because I stepped out in faith and I tasted that God was good. What does your testimony look like? I encourage you to steward your testimony well because it can affect others. Just like Pastor Nick's testimony affected me, I'm hoping and I'm praying that my testimony affects yours. Share your testimony. Don't hide it. In Psalm 34:4, David writes this, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." But for David, life wasn't always perfect and easy. So let's take a look at David's life in 1 Samuel 15 through 21. We see that Saul is the king of Israel at this time, and the Lord regretted making Saul king of Israel because Saul wasn't obeying God's commandments. So Samuel told this to Saul. And then the Lord tells Samuel, okay, go see Jesse the Bethlehemite because I have picked one of his sons to be king. Right? So he goes to see Jesse and he's like, Jesse, let me see your sons. And there's seven of them. And he's going and he's looking and the Lord's saying, this isn't the one. This isn't the one. This isn't the one. This isn't the one. Right? And Samuel, he approaches Jesse and he's like, is this all that you have? And Jesse says, well, I have my son David. And he's the youngest, but he's out watching the sheep. And Samuel says, go get him. So Samuel meets David and the Lord says, anoint him. This is the one. At this point, Saul is still king of Israel, and Saul called on David to be a harp player for him and an armor bearer for him. David then goes on to defeat Goliath, but you see, Saul started to become jealous of the praise that David was getting from doing this. So Saul set out to kill David. David heard this and he fled. He fled to a cave, and I can just imagine how hard this was for David. You see, he was doing all the right things. He was honoring the king. He was playing the harp for him. He defeated Goliath, which was huge for the Israelites. In Psalm 13:1, David writes this, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" You see, David felt abandoned even though he knew he was chosen, and sometimes we can feel like that too. Sometimes we feel like we're doing all the right things for God, and we're feeling like his face is turned away from us. I'm here to remind you that God is with you, and he is good. See, we need to remember what God has brought us through sometimes, to remember his goodness. In just a couple verses down, David remembers something, and he writes this in Psalm 13:5-6. "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." See, David remembered that when he had tasted and experienced the Lord was good, and that he'll continue to be good every single time. So remember what God has done for you. Reflect on times that you tasted and experienced the Lord's goodness. But maybe you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart yet, And you'll have the opportunity to do that at the end of service. In John 10, 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus is the one who laid down his life so that we can have it to the full. And I want to tell you, if you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, the fact that you're here is proof of God's goodness working in your life. You see, when you taste, you will experience the goodness of God. But tasting is the key. Stepping out in faith is the key. How many of you have a toddler at home? How many of you are related to a toddler or have seen a toddler once in your life? All right? Okay. All right. Amazing. And we've all been there. You're there and you're trying to get the toddler to eat vegetables, right? You're like, come on, try it. It's really, really good. Come on. I promise it's really good for you, right? And you're sitting there and you're doing, choo-choo, here comes the train, open up, right? And the, open up, here comes the plane, right? And God is asking you to do the same thing. He's asking you to step out in faith, and he's asking you to taste and see that he is good. So what is God asking you to step out in faith and do? Taste and experience God's goodness for yourself. In Luke 11, 11 through 13, the Bible says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Our Father gives good gifts. Taste and experience God's goodness. I'll hand it over to Pastor Portia.
Church, McKenna just brought the word to us tonight. Thank you so much for sharing with us. I love that I'm a part of a body that has leadership that believes that the daughters of God can handle the word of God and can expound upon the word of God in a setting such as this. I'm so thankful for Pastor Rob and Pastor Becca and for Pastor Anthony. It is such an amazing opportunity. I don't know if you caught it, but McKenna said it a couple times. The call of God on her life was affirmed multiple times. And tonight is a night that your call is affirmed again, because all the things that the Lord has whispered to your heart and your spirit are true, because he is not a man that he would lie, nor the son of man that he would change his mind. But when he says he's going to do something, he does it, and he is doing it, and it is good. It is good. I love when the Lord affirms what he is saying to us. And there might be somebody in this room right now that you're going, but God has never affirmed me in my call. I would like to invite you to ask God, what have you called me to do? And when you receive clarity on what God has asked you to do, you will be able to go back in your life and see the affirmation and the confirmation of what he has asked you. Amen? Amen. Okay, guys. We're jumping still into Psalms 34, which is one of my favorite chapters. It's David. And this is one of those chapters where it sounds really great and awesome. But as McKenna shared, David is not at the height of his life right now. He is running from Saul. He has just recently escaped from the Philistines by pretending to be a madman. And this is what David says in verses 1-3. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. Let us exalt his name together." Man, do we do that? When everything is falling apart, do we stop and still allow the blessing of God and who he is to remain on our lips? Pastor Sean said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." I would like to say, let's follow as David followed. That even though he was in difficult circumstances, even though he was running for his life, he still said, "I will bless the Lord." Because here's something that I think that we forget, especially in our Western culture and in the American church. God is not obliged to do one other thing for us for the rest of our lives. And I'm not being mean and I'm not being hard. I just know that God has already done amazing things for me. And the extra that he does, it comes from his goodness. And so the anchor of Psalms 34 comes from verse 8 that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And if there are any grammar folks in the room, you're going to know that David is giving us an imperative statement. An imperative is a command. Taste. You see that the Lord is good. And all of my grammar teachers said, amen. So we're going to be pondering and continuing to talk about God's goodness, but we're also going to be talking about how we see God's goodness. In our sight, it's such a great thing. Where are my contact wearers in the room? Like, you don't know what time it is till you pick up your glasses, right? You can't hear anybody if you can't see them. Anybody else like me? If I can't see you, I for sure cannot hear you. But we're going to be looking at how we see that the Lord is good. And I'd like to submit to you today that seeing the goodness of the Lord is more than just your physical eyesight, right? My great-grandmother, her name was Naomi, this is my father's grandmother, lost her sight near the end of her life. She had diabetes, had complications, she lost her sight. And so I called my parents just to talk to them a little bit about Grandma Naomi, for her, just to know about her faith and to know what was it like for her to lose her sight. And my mom told me that her faith never wavered, that she was a woman of prayer, that she believes that the prayers that my great-grandmother prayed are still being answered today, because she prayed for her children to know the Lord. She prayed that they would have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And she passed from this life into the next before my father had accepted Jesus. But can I tell you that my father is serving Jesus with all of his heart and has been for over 40 years? And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was because he had a grandmother who saw the goodness of God. So she knew that her lineage, that those that come after her would need to see the goodness of God. What are you seeing lately? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I know we've said that a lot today, it's difficult to see the goodness of God. If you have come through the last year and a half of life, and the fact that you're sitting in the seats right now shows me that we all have just come through the last year and a half of life, it was difficult to see the goodness of God. But how many of you know that the things that happen on the news and the things that happen in our streets and the things that happen in our nation's capital do not determine whether or not God is good? And so sometimes when we are seeing things with our natural eyes, we need to go into our spiritual eyes and see those things as God sees them. Colossians tells us to set our minds on things above. And you know how we do that? By adjusting what we're seeing. Sometimes I have to take my glasses off and I have to clean them so that I can see better. Sometimes I'm not wearing my glasses and I push them up on my nose because I don't feel them securely on my face, and then remember, oh, you're wearing your contacts today. Please stop doing that. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. When my heart was broken last year watching things happen in our nation, as my heart was broken watching things happen within the body of Christ, what I consoled myself with is that Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I couldn't pay attention to what I was physically seeing. I had to go inside my heart to what the Holy Spirit was saying to me, saying, Portia, I have established my church, and it might look bad right now, but you have seen my goodness before. You will see my goodness again, and my church is not going out like that. Amen? In 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the Corinthians about our earthly tents, right? I'm so looking forward to when I get a new tent, because let's be real, 2020 was not good to this tent. This tent was good to me because it kept me alive and thriving. Some of us need to remember we need to be kind to ourselves. Our bodies have carried a significant amount of weight, metaphorically speaking, this last year. But he's talking to the Corinthians and he is reminding them that we are in an earthly tent that is not going to be here forever, but one day we are going to receive a new body. And then he tells them, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We must not just lean on our physical sight. We must lean into the spiritual sight that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul in Acts was talking to King Agrippa. It's a great story. I encourage you to go and read it. It's Acts chapter 26. He is giving his testimony. McKenna shared about the power of our testimony. So the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony before the king, and he says, part of my purpose is to open their eyes, those who have yet to know the Lord, so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and share amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me, in Jesus. So here's the deal. If you don't know the Lord, you are walking around in darkness. If you don't know the Lord, the enemy is calling the shots on your life. Portia, is there really a devil? Yes, there is. And his aim is to steal, kill, and destroy. But you know what Jesus said? But I have come that you may have life and have life more abundantly. My prayer for us in this room is that our eyes would be open and that we would see the goodness of God. Number one, either because you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you do tonight, so your eyes are opened. Or number two, maybe you have forgotten the goodness of God. I have in my pocket, I put it in here because I need it, but it actually works. These are Re-Wetting Drops because, as I mentioned, I wear contacts. And I just switched brands and I like them, but I'm finding that at the end of the day, my eyes get kind of dry and they're kind of blurry and I can't see real well. So I pull out my drops. Right? And what do? They lubricate the eye, they remove any debris, and they help you to be able to see really, really well. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Jesus told us that he came to lead us into all truth. He said that he was going to come so that we would be convicted of sin and of righteousness. Of sin so that we would ask for forgiveness, and of righteousness so we would live the way that Jesus died and rose from the dead so that we could live. So if I may be so bold, when you think about Re-Wetting Drops, if you don't wear contacts, it's okay. You can still use this image. I'm sure somebody in your life wears them. Remember that when your sight gets clouded, that we have someone who helps us clear our sight. And he clears our sight through the word. Reading the word of God is not passe. Reading the word of God is not just the things that super spiritual do. Reading the word of God is what we do so that we can see the goodness of God. Because when we read the word, we're reminded that we can bless the Lord at all times. When we read the word, we're reminded that the Lord listens to the brokenhearted. When we read the word, we're reminded that we are never alone. David continues and he says that those who fear the Lord fear nothing and they lack nothing. Now, this fear of the Lord is not like, rah! Ah! That's not what the fear of the Lord is. It's not. It is to have awe and reverence for the God of the universe. It is to have a holy, holy respect for the King of the universe. It's kind of like, throw it back to when you were a kid, wait till your father gets home. Right? Once upon a time, I was a high school principal, but they didn't care. When I was an elementary principal, when I would walk into the classroom, it was amazing the behavior change that would happen immediately when I walked in, right? I don't exactly have that power at home. I don't know. My children are in the room. We'll see. I'll ask them later. And it wasn't because the students were afraid of me. It was just the authority that I walked in, so they wanted to line up and do what they knew what was right. When we remember who God is and how awesome he is, and the angels 24/7 are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, then we are reminding ourselves to have a fear of the Lord. David tells us in Psalms 34 that if we're gonna fear the Lord, we're gonna keep our tongue from evil. If we're gonna fear the Lord, we're gonna keep our lips from deceitful speech. Let me add in, from deceitful type. If we are going to fear the Lord, we are going to seek peace and pursue it. If we are going to fear the Lord, we are going to worship him on a regular basis. David saw the goodness of God because his eyes were on the righteous. If you know Jesus, you're righteous. David saw the goodness of God because he saw God rescue him from Goliath. He saw God rescue him from Saul. He saw God rescue him from the Philistines. David saw the goodness of God because he is near to the brokenhearted. So my question for us in this room tonight is, what about you? Have you seen the goodness of God? I pray that this message will serve as rewetting drops for your spiritual eyes. I pray that if you don't have a relationship, that here in a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to ask you if you want to have a relationship with Jesus. Because I'm pretty for sure, if I were to take account of how many times we have said, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, today is going to be your opportunity. We have said it multiple times. And let me tell you why. Because it is the very reason why we live. I want you to know, I want you to see the goodness of our God. McKenna said it so well. We desire and pray desperately that you will experience the goodness of God. Does it mean that you will have everything that you've ever wanted? No, because that's not what salvation is about. It is about coming near this very holy and awesome God and having a personal relationship with him. It is knowing that there is not one moment when you will be alone. It is knowing that you can survive a 2020. You can survive heartbreak because the God of the universe has come near to you. And that's why I desire with all of my heart that you would not only taste and experience, but that you would see the goodness of God. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, please. If we were speaking to you tonight because you are a person that, man, you know that God is real. You know that Jesus is real. History books tell us that. But you have never had a personal relationship with him. You might even have amazing parents that had you baptized as an infant. But you have not said, yes, I need a personal relationship with Jesus. If that's you and you're in this room right now, I'm going to ask that you raise your hand. We don't want to embarrass you, but we do want to pray with you because it is the best decision that you will ever make. If today is the day that you want to say, yes, I want my eyes to be open and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you could just raise your hand and wave at me. Because this is what I know. When I accepted Jesus as an 8-year-old child, it was the best thing that ever happened. I see that hand. I see that hand. And as I've continued in my life and had moments of rededication, I'm continuing to see the goodness of God. Is there anybody else, as we wait a few more moments, that today is the day that you want a relationship with Jesus Christ? Amen. So this is what we're gonna do. We are all gonna pray together with this one that raised their hand, and we celebrate the decision that you are making today. So I'm going to ask everybody in the room to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I repent of my sins. Thank you for dying for me. Please come into my heart. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit, and I will live for you forever.